Good morning. If you did not receive an outline, if you raise your hand, be sure that you get one of those outlines. Appreciate your prayers for Sharon. She's been battling with her allergies again. Also had opportunity to visit Poe in the hospital yesterday, and he had a good day Friday, but yesterday he had a little bit of a fever, and I think there may be an infection, possibly. So we need to continue to pray for him and for others that are in need of physical healing. So our theme is take root downward and to bear fruit upward. And we make this our prayer this year. We come to the idea here of sowing and reaping, that we are to have grateful living. Our key verse here in Luke 17:19, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we come before you humbly, bowing before you today. Lord, you know our needs. We open our hearts to you, our ears, that we might hear your word, that you would speak to us. Father, pray your hand be upon those who are ill, those who are in need of healing. We pray you'd heal them physically and strengthen them spiritually. Father, we pray that those who may be traveling, that you would give them safety as they travel. And Lord, I pray that our heart would be focused on you today. You not allow any distractions, but Lord, that we would hear your word and it would enter our hearts and you would speak to us today, Lord. That's what we desire. And we give you the glory and praise. We ask for your filling in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you think about this, we ask the question here, what is good? And what is good? You know, it's good to have faith, to believe, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good that we do that. In the first part of Luke chapter 17, it is good to have faith to do the difficult things. And here it speaks about forgiving others as being one of those difficult things. As the first part of this chapter, he speaks here about being able to forgive others who repent, and we are to forgive them. And even to do what we may think is impossible, to forgive them many times. If they sin against us seven times and repent, we're to forgive them. And you know, the disciples here, when they heard this saying in verse 5, notice this here, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. This is difficult. To forgive a person one time is an exercise of faith. To forgive them many times is an exercise of faith. And he compares it to like calling upon the Lord to move one tree from one place to another. And so to believe, to trust, to have faith is good, and that's what's required of us. And this is good. And then he goes on here in chapter 17, he tells us about what is even better. As we look here at what is better, it's better to have faith to do the routine tasks that our master has committed to us. And so he talks here about a servant. And this is not just an ordinary servant. We would call him the jack of all trades. He can do anything. He can farm, like garden, he can shepherd, take care of the sheep, and cooking. He can even cook. This is a very good servant. But what then is a proper attitude for us in Christian service? Ephesians 6:6 tells us this, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, serving God should be a delight, something that we want to do, we desire to do, not just a duty, something we have to do. And so we obey Him, as it tells us in Psalm 40, because we love Him. Now, We ought to do that. This is what we ought to do. He talks here that a faithful servant, you know, there are two extremes to avoid. You know, those who merely do our duty in a slavish way because we have to. I have to do this. That's one extreme that we should avoid, to think that we have to serve the Lord. And the other extreme is that we do our duty because we hope just to do it to gain a reward. You know, these are two extremes. Not just that we have to do it or because, well, if I do it, I'll get some reward. But our heart should be in it. And this is what is better, that we serve God from our heart. So it's good to have faith. It's better to have faith and obedience to serve Him. But then we come to the third thing I want us to consider here, is what is best. It's best to have faith to do grateful living. Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. So here, to believe and obey with the right heart attitude is what is best. And that's what we see here. Yes, it's good that we believe. It is even better when we believe and obey. But it is best when we believe, obey, and with our whole heart. And so we see here an example of this today. You know, we have a lot of experiences in life that we ought to be grateful for. There are great things. There are marvelous things we ought to be grateful for. As we see here, God's providence. We read in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 12. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as He was going into a village. Now, you look at this map here, and you see Galilee, where Jesus, Nazareth, where He grew up, and a lot of His ministry was up here in Galilee. And so He's traveling along the border between Galilee and Samaria. So the Jews, the Samaritans, were kind of half-breeds. They were kind of, a lot of the Jews didn't want to have to associate with the Samaritans. So when they came down here, often they would travel across the river and come down and then go to Jerusalem to avoid Samaria. They would travel along the border here and come down. And so as we see here something that I think is important for us, God meets us where we are located. Whether it's a city, a village, or the countryside, the providence of God brought Jesus into their village. You know, there's God's providence, God's at work, and then there's our responsibility. We see how both of these work. God's providence and our responsibility. Jesus meets us where we're at, and we have to respond to that. And so we see, secondly, man's need. As we read here, man's need. 10 men who had leprosy met Him, and they stood at a distance. Now, these 10 unclean men, all of them were lepers. Among the Jews, this severe skin disease was classified as leprosy, would even include our modern Hansen's disease. And even today, I was surprised to find that there are about 10 million people in the world that have leprosy. This is not just an ancient disease. This is a disease even today. And this disease of leprosy, it attacks the nerves, so the victim cannot feel the pain. And then infection sets in easily, and it leads to degeneration of the tissues. And the limb becomes deformed and eventually even falls off, as you see these fingers have fallen off. And it was a task of the Jewish priest to examine the people to determine whether they were lepers. And then the affected people were to be isolated. They were not to, because it would spread. And so they were isolated, could not return to normal society until they'd been declared cleansed, until the priests had declared them cleansed. And so leprosy was used by Isaiah And Isaiah chapter 1 is a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of our sin. How's that? Leprosy is like sin, it's deeper than the skin. It's not just on the surface, the skin disease, but it's deeper than that. It spreads just like sin. It defiles like sin. And it has to be isolated as outcast. And so, this picture of leprosy is a picture of us, of sin. And then we see next that man's prayer. We read here that, and they called out in a loud voice. These 10 lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, Lord, have pity on us." And reminded of next chapter in Luke chapter 18, the words of the tax collector, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Same similar words. Whether you have leprosy or sin, we cry out to God for His help. We cry out to God for His mercy. And this is like the sinner's prayer. Have pity on us. Have mercy on us. And so as they cried out to God, I want you to see God's response here. "And when He saw them, He said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.'" Remember, the priest had declared that they were cleansed. The love of God caused him to pay attention to them in their need. And the grace and power of God brought about their healings. We see another case where Jesus even touched a leper and healed him. But here Jesus doesn't touch them. He says words of healing. He says, "Go to the priest and you will be cleansed." Now, the man's response here, how did these men respond? "And as they went, they were cleansed. And when they turned to obey the words of Jesus, they were completely healed." Their obedience was evidence of their faith. They believed the words of Jesus. As Jesus had spoken to them, they went to the priest to be cleansed. And on their way, they were healed. He healed them. Now, this reminds us of Nahum. Remember the story of Nahum in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. We read about this man, Nahum, was a great commander of the army, a foreign country there. And he had taken a girl who served in his household, and she told him about the man of God, about Elisha, and how that God could heal him. And so he goes to the king of Israel, and he asks to speak to Elisha. And Elisha sends a servant and tells him that he should go down the Jordan River and dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be cleansed. Well, this is not what the man had expected. He had expected that the prophet would come to him and he would touch him, and this was not what he expected. He thought it would be this way, and it was hard for him to accept that. Besides that, back in his home country, they had better rivers there that were cleaner rivers than the River Jordan that was cleaner. And, he had all these, I don't think this is right. But his servant reminded him, if he'd asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? Trust and believe. And so he dipped in the River Jordan 7 times and he was cleansed by faith. By obedience, and he went in peace. It also affected his attitude. And so we see here man's response. When we believe God, then we experience His healing and His cleansing. So this is the first step. Believing God, trusting God, not our own works, not what we think is right. Well, I don't think this is the right way to do it. We go do it God's way. And so, do you have A grateful experience of God's providence, of God's love, of God's healing, God's cleansing. Think about all of us, how we have experienced God works in our lives in different ways, in mysterious ways. But we've experienced God's love. We've experienced God's healing and cleansing. And so we see here, first of all, how this is a grateful experience that we all have had if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we've seen God working in our lives. And secondly, how there are two ways of responding. There's the ungrateful response or the grateful response. Now, first of all, an expected response. Notice here these words Jesus said. You would have expected all 10 men to return to Jesus and to thank Him for the new start in their life. Thank you, Jesus, that we have a new beginning. Thank you for your healing and for your cleansing. Just like Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. The response should be this, of praise. Praise God. Praise God for what He's done. Praise God for His healing and His cleansing. But the actual response we see here is this. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. One out of ten. One out of ten returned to thank Jesus for His healing. To have this disease of leprosy, to have to be at a distance, not to be able to come near anyone, and to be healed of this terrible disease, but yet one returns to give thanks. And not only that, but it's an unusual person who returns and gives thanks. Because Jesus reminds us, and he was a Samaritan. Remember those half-breeds, those outcasts, those Samaritans? And so here the Samaritan shouted glory to God and fell at Jesus' feet to praise Him and to give thanks. It would have been logical for him to have followed the other men and gone to the temple, but he first came to Jesus with his sacrifice of praise. 10 should have returned. Only one returns. And that one is a Samaritan. And there's a lesson here. Jesus then asked some very important questions. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 lepers and were not 10 of them cleansed? And then he asked a second question, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? 3 questions here. Search our heart as we think about these questions. Why did not all 10 return? And the one who did return was a foreigner. And here there's a significant truth. And then he said to him, to that Samaritan, to that one who returned and gave thanks, to the one who had been healed and cleansed, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. By coming to Jesus, the man received something greater than physical healing. He was also saved from his sins. For really, what Jesus is saying here, your faith has saved you. That's a literal translation of this. Same words that were used in chapter 7, verse 50. As he spoke to that repentant woman who anointed his feet, your faith has saved you. The 9 friends were declared clean by the priest of the disease, but the Samaritan was declared saved by the Son of God. And while it's a wonderful experience to have the miracle of physical healing, it's even more wonderful to experience the miracle of eternal salvation. It's great to be healed physically, but it's even greater to have our sins forgiven and to have eternal salvation. And so when we thank God, then we experience His salvation. Every child of God should cultivate this grace of gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And so I want to come to the third thing here. I want to spend some time on this, is grateful living. Grateful living. Do we understand what this is about, grateful living? We all probably heard of this, and we put a lot of emphasis on this. IQ. Someone's IQ. Anybody know what IQ stands for? IQ. Intelligent quotient. Very good. Intelligent quotient. Supposed to measure your intelligence, your intelligent quotient. I want to introduce you to another concept maybe you've heard of before, or maybe you haven't. GQ. Here is something that we need to also measure. GQ. And GQ is this. Gratitude quotient. GQ here was 1 out of 10. Before we judge the 9 ungrateful lepers too harshly, though, we need to look at our own selves. What is our GQ? How often do we take our blessings that God has given us for granted and even fail to thank the Lord? This is one reason why, you know, when I lead a person to Christ and help them say the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus Christ our Savior, then I have them on their own give a grateful prayer, thanking God for saving them when they did not deserve it. We do not deserve it. Thank you, God, for your grace in giving me what I do not deserve, eternal life. And thank you for your mercy in withholding what I do deserve, eternal death. And this gratitude quotient, our GQ. You know, this is very important. It's not how intelligent we are, but this measures our heart, not just our mind. This measures our heart. Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, too often we are content to enjoy the gift. We like the gift. We enjoy the gift. But we forget the giver. That God is a giver of all good gifts. Everything good comes from above. And we are quick to complain and gripe, but slow to give thanks and praise. And so IQ measures our mind, but GQ measures our heart. And so we need to learn to have this gratitude quotient. You know, in the Bible, there are many gratitude commands. We are commanded to be thankful. Be thankful, Hebrews 12, and again in Colossians 3. We're also commanded to thank God. And 10 verses here all speak to the fact that we should thank God. Now, there are many ways we can do this. Perhaps gratitude notes, a thank you card. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, kind of interesting verse here, read recently in our Bible readings, we're going through Deuteronomy. Return your cloak, your outer coat, by sunset so your neighbor may sleep in it. All right, you borrowed the coat from your neighbor, the neighbor was good, gave you the coat, and return it to them so that they may sleep in it. Then they will thank you, and it will be regarded as a righteous act in the sight of the Lord your God. Now, I want you to circle a couple words here for me. They will thank you. All right? Thank you. And then right behind that, that's a righteous act. We don't often think of that. To thank someone else, to have a grateful heart, to be willing to thank others is a righteous act. It's something that's right, something that we should do. And he goes on in 2 Thessalonians, say this, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you have for one another is increasing. And so Paul says here that we ought to thank God not just for our circumstances, but also for our brothers and sisters, because their faith is growing more and more, and their love for one another is increasing. And so here is an application. When we thank God and others, then we experience grateful living. When we thank God and others, we are experiencing grateful living, grateful quotient. And so, Romans 16:4, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Paul was grateful, but all the churches there were grateful. I am grateful. This is a measure of our heart. Now, as we think about this measure of our heart, I want you to think about this. You know, it is easy to complain about what we don't have. It's easy to forget to be thankful for all the benefits in our lives. We speak about the importance of IQ, but what about our GQ? What about our hearts? The Bible encourages us to be thankful for all we have. Now, here are some ways to increase your GQ. We want to know how can I increase my GQ, my gratefulness of my heart. Number one, start your day with gratitude. Start your day with gratitude. So many times we wake up and we kind of go, "Oh, that weather looks pretty bad out there." We wake up in the morning, we think about, "Oh, what I have to face today." Oh, we start out groaning instead of giving praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Try this. Begin your day by acknowledging God, by acknowledging His goodness and His grace in your life. And your day will be different when your attitude is filled with thanksgiving. Start your day with thanks. Try it. Start your day with thanks, with gratefulness. Now, number two, continue your day with gratitude. You get to work, you get to school, something happens. Oh, and you know, it's easy for our heart to go down and start to complain and grumble, but to continue your day. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and this verse here, I'd like for all of us to read this verse together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Can we read this together, please? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then he tells us clearly that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, not only start your day with a grateful heart and giving thanks, but continue your day, because you're going to face things throughout the day that are difficult, that will challenge you and will challenge your GQ. You don't quit being thankful when circumstances are not what you want them to be. There's a man by the name of Martin Reinhart. He wrote a hymn called "Now Thank We All Our God" in 1636. It was during the 30 Years' War in Europe, when his pastoral duties were most difficult. You see, he wrote this hymn. He conducted as many as 40 funerals a day. Can you imagine doing 40 funerals a day? That would have been difficult enough. but included that of his own wife. He had to do the funeral of his own wife. And yet he wrote these beautiful words as a table grace for his family. In spite of war, in spite of plague around him and sorrow within him, he was able to give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart. Griping and moaning about what we don't have is a common human trait. But to give thanks is a divine trait. And this is a divine gratitude quotient. So we ought to begin our day with thanks. We ought to continue our day with thanks. We ought to end our day with thanks, reflecting on the day, thanking God for His faithfulness to us. And by doing this, number three, we develop then the habit of being thankful. Now, habits don't come easily. You have to work at habit. Especially this type of gratitude attitude. We have to work at this, to have this gratitude attitude. And so Ephesians 5:20 tells us this, giving thanks always and for everything. Always means that this becomes a habit. That we give thanks. We give thanks for the little things and the big things. We give thanks for all things and always. Gratitude does not come naturally to human beings. We have to nurture it. We have to develop this habit so that we give thanks throughout the day. And so we begin our day with thanks. We continue our day with thanks. We end our day with thanks. And this becomes a habit in our life to give thanks. To thank God and to thank others. And what will happen with this? Number four, your attitude will begin to change. My attitude will begin to change. Your attitude of gratitude will also impact those around you. It will have an influence upon others. I can assure you of one thing. Your thankful heart will positively affect people around you. I would rather awaken to thankfulness than to griping and complaining. And so when we have this attitude of gratitude, we develop this gratitude quotient. It changes our heart. Now think about this. Look around you. Isn't there much to be thankful for? Isn't there much to be grateful for? Start this day by thanking God for the things you have, not the things you don't have. Start this day. It would be a good start. And before you go to the Lord with a long list of things you need Him to provide for you, go to Him with a heart of thanks for what He has given to you already. I can guarantee that if you change the way you live your day, it will impact those around you. And your score great in your you may score great in your IQ, but if your GQ is low, your life is not going to be very fulfilling. Having a high IQ doesn't make your life fulfilling. But having a high GQ can make your life fulfilling. And there's nothing quite like a joyful and a grateful heart. In fact, it's contagious. And may your gratitude be infused with joy and affect those around you today. If your GQ is low, then start nurturing an attitude of gratitude. And it will change the way you live your life. Oftentimes we look at our cups or our glass. And we look at our glass, there's different ways we look at it. There are those people who would say, looking at this, my glass is what? Half empty. And there are those who would say, my glass is half full. Psalm 23 is a verse we ought to consider and to meditate upon. Psalm 23 tells us this, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. Instead of looking at our cup is half empty, or our cup is half full, If we would look at in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. God has blessed us in mighty ways. God has given us, consider what God has given to us, eternal life, and all the blessings, and counting our blessings that God has given to us. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. You know, in Africa, they have what's called the taste berry. It was kind of interesting. I'd not heard of this before, but I was reading about this. The taste berry. And in Africa, if they would eat the taste berry, then whatever they would eat afterwards would taste sweet. It would taste good. By eating the taste berry, whatever they would eat afterwards would have a different taste. And you know what? To us as Christians, to us who have received much from God, gratitude is our taste berry. Gratitude is our taste berry. If we would have the gratitude in our hearts, then what we would experience, with gratitude. It would change our taste, or change our way of looking at things. And so gratitude is our taste berry. May God help us to be grateful living, to have grateful living. You know, Thanksgiving is more than just one day a year. Oh, I'll be thankful on Christmas, Thanksgiving. But grateful living is supposed to be every day. We begin, we continue, we end each day with a grateful heart, and we develop this habit of having a grateful heart. And this is what grateful quotient is all about. It measures the gratitude in our hearts. And may God help us to have grateful hearts. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we come before you and we confess to you that many times we complain. Many times we are not happy with our circumstances. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see things as you see them. Lord, that we would have your eyes looking at things. And Lord, that we would have the taste berry of gratitude. That we would stop to give thanks to you at all times for all things. And this attitude of gratitude, we would begin our day, continue our day, end our day with this attitude. It would become a habit in our lives to give you thanks and to give thanks to others. Lord, may this grace of gratitude be a part of our hearts and our lives. And as it is, it would not only influence us, but influence others. Lord, give us grateful living. We pray. May we face each day with grateful living and grateful hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.